podcast viewfinder.
Is she still there in the dark place?
No. We set her free.
You helped her?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
What's wrong, honey?
You weren't supposed to help her.
Why?
Don't you understand, Rachel? She never sleeps. Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 30.
Wow, 30, man. Roaring 20s are over. Now we're
30.
We're so getting up there.
We entered my decade. All right, so this week, James, Halloween happens.
Yes, it does.
It's Friday? Saturday. What day is it?
Saturday.
Saturday. This Saturday is Halloween. And so that was a quote from, it's probably the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Keyword, you've ever seen.
Yes, The Ring. That movie terrified me like none other. I saw it in theaters and just freaked me out. Then I rented it with a friend and I watched it at my house.
You're like, why?
This is when I was in college, I saw it. And then I rented it and watched it with a friend. Wait, no, that might have been a different movie. But
Of course, why not?
I don't remember who I saw The Ring with. Maybe I saw it with my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time.
Bryce Palmer.
No. But so then I rented The Ring with a friend. And we watched it. And I was at my parents' house. My parents weren't there. And then he left. And I had to sleep alone in my house.
Hey, you're grown.
I was.
You're in college?
I'm still frightened. I was like,
really?
I locked my door. Have you ever seen The Ring?
Yeah.
Oh, terrifying. That movie.
It is. What about The Ring 2?
I didn't watch the second. Is there a sequel?
I think so.
I didn't see the second one.
Yeah.
So, I remember the first one, because the first one was a Japanese movie called Ringu, R-I-N-G-U. And I remember somebody saying, if you were scared in The Ring, if you watch Ringu, you would literally go bananas. And so I don't know what that means. I do know it means that he doesn't know how to use the word literally, unless you like watched it and then like you, like what would it literally mean to go bananas?
Like, I don't know.
You went bananas? It's like, I mean, you like got in the car and drove to bananas? Like you went.
No bananas.
You went bananas. So.
Speaking of bananas.
Well.
You know what happened in Florida.
Oh, is it time already?
It is. Right? We just jumped there. We were talking about Halloween.
It's time for Florida for eatables.
So this is an article you found.
Yeah.
So tell us about it.
All right. So. Can I just, before we get right into it, I just gotta say this. So last week, thanks for listening if you listened, I was in Haiti, James wasn't there, you weren't there.
You know, if you just didn't want me on the show, you could have just told me, you didn't have to leave the country.
I did. So, because we want to bring Podcast Viewfinder to you every week, I took all my recording stuff. We recorded,
you had a live audience in there. How was that? You're touring now.
Here's what happened. So we recorded about 4 minutes, 5 minutes of the podcast. Then we were recording in a lobby of a hotel, and then people came in and were talking. So I stopped it, listened. It was going fine. Started recording again. Recorded another like 25 minutes, and none of that recorded. I looked. I was like, "Oh man!" And so then
those
like,
exact words.
Then we tried to like recreate it, and it just didn't work out. And so then I finally like figured out how to record again. And so we like recorded like the last night we were there, and it didn't live up to that first. That first night, it was so good. And then we kind of messed it up, and there was music playing. So hopefully the recording was okay. But we're back now. So we didn't have our regular segments like Florida for Eagles, which we're going to, right? We're going to have two this week.
Yeah.
To make up for last week.
Double.
So the one I found last week. Yes. So his monkey like escapes from his owner, runs out, eats the neighbor's mail. Cause
that's a federal offense. Did you know that? He's going to jail. You can't just break into somebody's mailbox and eat their mail.
Dr. Zayas is going to monkey prison. So he
goes. I don't even know what that's from.
Dr. Zayas from.
I don't know what that's from.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that's old.
Like the original William Shatner.
Oh, my.
Darn dirty apes.
What?
James, you need more culture in life. Okay. All right, so a monkey escapes and eats the neighbor's mail. Then, like, these cops come because they're told there's a monkey on the loose. And so he goes and starts pulling the molding off of a police car. And then he jumps on a street sign and rocks back
and
forth.
I'm sure that's illegal, too. He just broke, like, a ton of laws. He's in jail.
He's in monkey jail. So,
So what would you do?
If I was, like, sitting there and I was a policeman and somebody called me.
First off, you're the bystander.
Okay, I'm a bystander.
You're, like, the neighbor.
I see a monkey. I probably would have, called the police.
That's it? You want to, like, try to catch it yourself?
I'm not, okay. I'm always fearful of monkeys in the wild because that guy got his face ripped off by a chimpanzee. Or a girl, I don't know. So yeah. Monkeys, like, I like watching them, like, jump on trees and stuff that are, like, in a cage at the zoo. But if I see one, like, walking
you're
down the street,
gonna run.
I'm like, ah, this monkey's gonna rip my face off.
You're more scared of those than lions.
Damn.
Dude, they can climb pretty well. They can open doors.
Monkeys or
you
lions?
Know it's a bad deal.
Monkeys?
Monkeys, yeah. You're like you close the door, a lion can't open the door, but monkeys can. You're in trouble.
And velociraptors.
So. Yeah, those two. Hey, but only certain types.
Jurassic World came out on DVD this week.
It is. Did you watch it?
No.
It's only the biggest movie of the year.
I saw it in theaters. Okay, so.
The other one. You know, if monkeys weren't, you know, I mean, maybe they should have a monkey hunt.
Yeah, what would you have done? So they gave the monkey a water bottle to distract it.
Here you go.
Yeah. Same way I just took video of Zeke and posted on the agency's Facebook page. Zeke had a little fun with our patrol car. The officers posted in one video. Well, it ended with them. They shot the monkey in the face.
Yep, monkey dead. I'm just kidding. Okay. I mean, you shouldn't joke about that.
Okay.
You're going to get some negative
reviews
now.
No, they did not kill monkeys.
They don't kill monkeys, but they do kill bears.
Yes. So...
Oh, man. So a couple months ago, we reported on Florida's got a bear infestation.
Yeah, it does.
Bear problems. Look for the bear necessities.
Oh, simple.
And
bear
so they had it, and I guess it ended after two
Pull
days.
Pull out your gun and your knife.
Because they had a ton of bears killed. They're like, oh, we just hit the quota.
Yeah. So their objective was to kill 320 bears. And in 2 days, they had killed 295, so they're like, hey, let's just stop.
Yeah, we are stopping now. We're going to hit that fast.
Yeah.
We're going to lose another 150, then we'll be in trouble.
Well, this was controversial because there's people that like bears more than babies, apparently. So they hold up signs and say, I'm not your trophy, and bear hunt equals trophy hunt. Like, yeah. They look like ladies that work at Sam's and give me samples. So, but there's an estimated 300... or 3,500 bears in Florida. And some people say that's not a real number.
It's not a real number.
Well, I mean, it's an imaginary number. Yeah. Well, they say that like there's not really that many bears. So now more than 30 states allow bear hunting in some form. Now, what does that mean, in some form? Like, okay, this state you can shoot it with a gun. This
not here. State, you have to mace it.
Bear
Good
spray.
Luck.
There's bear spray.
Yeah.
This state, Alaska, is only hand-to-hand combat.
Here, give you a knife. Good luck.
Oh, man. And in one state, you have to dress as Yogi Bear and pretend that you're trying to get a picnic basket, and then you just stab the bear who's not looking. Oh, man. Yeah, so...
So which state would you want to hunt a bear in?
Alaska. Right, really? Man. That, no.
So you want to do the hand-to-hand combat?
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good luck with that. I'm going to choose Florida. I can use a gun.
Gun. So, yeah. I don't know. In some form. But I don't know what that means. So,
what about those bear traps?
Oh, yeah.
What are the chances of a bear walking right there in that small area? Out of the entire woods, it's going to step on that little trap.
But in like most horror movies, somebody always steps in a bear trap. Somebody always steps in a bear trap. So, okay, this is Podcast Viewfinder. We do talk about stuff going on in the world around you, mainly dealing with pop culture stuff. But really, we want to help people like discover what worldview that stuff is telling you. And so you have a worldview, and that worldview is shaped by the world around you. So it's shaped by your parents, it's shaped by your friends, it's shaped by the media that you take in, it's shaped by social media, what you read on there, post. All that stuff. And so, and hunting, we've talked about hunting on this show quite a bit. Although neither one of us hunts. But, no, the reason being is because...
I care about animals.
Do you?
No.
I care about, like, how they're
cooked. I mean, I... dude, I love the taste of meat. It's great.
No. If God didn't want to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat.
That's right!
So, I do... enjoy a good hamburger once in a while.
whatever. You love meat.
I do. Although I'm starting today, I am supposed to...
Never eat meat again. Why would you choose that?
I'm starting my my training to do a marathon.
Dude, we gotta follow this. We're gonna start reporting this. This is gonna be a section on the podcast.
So here's how it started out today. So today's day one of my marathon training.
It's always the best.
Set my alarm for 5:30. I'm like, yes, I'm going to get up, run. It's 6:30. I had hit snooze like it had like 20 times because it's a 5-minute snooze. So it's 20 times 5. Is that an hour?
So
I don't even
know. Running math. Man, it escapes him. My brother would be so disappointed in you.
I got up at 7 o'clock.
So you're just going to get up and run. You're just like, I'm just going to do this thing. Do you have running shoes?
Emily Ryan, who was on the show last week, she's an eye doctor.
Did she inspire you?
No, she runs in marathons and stuff. And so
she's a doctor.
I'm a doctor. So she like made up a running plan for me and Dr. Prince, who was on here last week as well. Playing the part of Apu. He was so dumb.
What?
He's like, I am Apu.
And oh my goodness. Just talk normal, so Prince. Funny.
So,
that's actually how he speaks.
Yeah.
He's got an accent. He wants to speak.
He hides it well.
He does.
So, yeah, but
he's a sponsor on the show.
And our disclaimer always is, just because we talk about stuff on the show doesn't mean we're promoting it or saying that you should watch it. We want you to make good decisions about those things. So
we shouldn't run?
What? No. Yeah. Running's fine. All right. So
you don't have legs.
It's Halloween time. James, what's the best Halloween costume you've ever dressed up as?
Man, I did not expect this question. Okay. I'm not going to go through my mind.
Of all the Halloween costumes?
Yeah, a cowboy. Yep, that's it, I think.
That's like what you're wearing today.
You're so... Oh, man.
I got my head in the boots with the spurs.
Yeah, I liked it that much. I'm like, why just limit it to one day of the year when I can wear it every day? So, I'm a real cowboy. Still working on the horse, though.
So I'm trying to think of... like.
What are you? What about you? You've had double the years on me.
I've been long twice as long as you
have. Yeah, but I've only just started celebrating.
One of the probably most creative costumes... it was a...
Pokemon.
No, it was a King Kong outfit.
You were a King Kong?
So you there's like a cardboard cutout of a building
oh
on me.
Oh my goodness.
And then like, then you put like the little legs on there. And so the legs are hanging off the side. And then like I'm wearing a gorilla mask. And so it looks like I'm sitting on top of this building. So yeah. So
that's good.
And then Angela and I have done some creative costumes. She was Curious George one year. I was the man in the yellow hat. I was Pac-Man, she was Mrs. Pac-Man, and Quincy was one of the little ghosts, our daughter. So,
hey, this is your first year with Sunny. What are you going to dress her up like?
So this year, Sunny's going to be a cat. Quincy's going to be Ariel.
Is there a theme here?
There's not a theme.
Wow,
this year.
You guys are terrible.
Our first year with our other daughter. So,
it goes downhill. You stop trying.
You just stop caring when you have two kids.
Wow, two, huh?
I stopped caring after one.
So maybe life will get better if I get two kids.
Maybe if I get a Chinese one.
Yeah.
In case you don't know,
I've
adopted a Chinese baby last year. It'll be a year in November. That's kind of crazy.
Man, are you going to celebrate? Going to have a party? Are you going to get together with the other Chinese babies that were adopted?
No, probably not. But we're probably going to do some like kind of celebration. We'll probably go to a Chinese restaurant.
You always go to China. How's that any different?
Well, we'll be like, hey, we got her a year ago, and they'll give us a free egg.
Are they going to be like, is that really your daughter? She doesn't look.
Like, I think she works here. She's only three.
Oh, man.
And she's been working a year.
Hey, what? Start them young, huh?
Were you a trick-or-treater growing up? Did you go,
door-to-door? I did, but my parents wouldn't let me go by myself, so they limited it to, like, one street, and I'm like, you can't get any candy off of one street. And then you hate it when it's, like, the bad candy. You know the bad candy. The houses you don't look forward to. You skip over.
What's the worst Halloween candy?
One year somebody gave us an apple. What is this trash?
That's not even candy.
I know, right? Like, there wasn't even
promo. They're basically saying, please egg our house. Don't do that. That's,
do not do that. That's bad. Then it was this really old-fashioned, like, peanut butter.
It's like those black, like the
black and the orange wrapped. Like I'm like, what is this? Somebody invented this and said this is good enough.
Dango bit of
and I'm
honey.
Like, this is the worst. And you always throw those out or give it to somebody who, you know, wants it.
Yeah.
But Reese's were always the best. You're like, ooh, gotta get my Reese's, gotta get my Skittles and my Starbursts, and So. All
right. So here's a list. This is from the RiverfrontTimes.com.
Riverfront.
This is Monday, October 29th. So here's some of the 21 worst Halloween candies of all time. They said candy corn.
Ooh.
Bitto honey. Have you ever had Bitto honey?
Yeah.
Raisinets. Chocolate covered raisin. I like raisinets.
Raisinets.
Butterscotches. Those little things. Lemonheads. Do you like lemonheads?
Yeah, I like lemonheads.
I do too. Peeps. They have the Halloween
things. Oh, I hate those things. Those are the worst.
Swedish fish. No, yeah. Well, you like Swedish fish,
you know, not so much because I get stuck in your teeth.
Yeah. What about orange slices? Those gummy orange slices?
I'm okay with those.
Werther's. Now, I love Werther's. That's old people candy, but I love me some Werther's. I got a Werther's in my pocket for you, kid. Smarties. Ooh. I don't like Smarties. Do you like Smarties?
I do. I love Smarties. I mean, I like Sweet Tarts more, but I'm like, dude, I could take a whole package.
Peanut Butter Kisses, that's the things you were talking about, the black and orange.
Yeah, I'm glad those made the list.
I made fun of those in church one time when I was preaching.
How'd that go?
Well, let me tell you what happened. So I came back and like somebody had put like one... So there's one in my mailbox, my church mailbox.
Yeah.
So I picked it up. It was kind of like a little bit squishy, like it had been... like a little bit warm or whatever.
Nice.
So I was like,
he warmed it up for
so,
you.
Yeah, so then I was walking back, and then like one of the people who works in the office was like, hey, I got you some of those. They're called Peanut Butter Kisses. They're not like Hershey Kisses.
That would be good candy.
Yeah, but she's like, I got some of those for you. So I was like, oh, okay, she put one in my box, so I ate it. And then later, this lady from our church was like, oh, yeah, I always have a bunch of those in my pocket, so I put one in your drawer. I was like,
now you know it's warm.
I ate somebody's milk. Melted pocket
their body heat warmed it for you.
Old fashioned hard candies, that's another bad one. That's like those strawberry things, you know, like those. They're like,
why do these things still exist?
I don't know. There's like strawberry, the hot red hots, peppermints. Oh, Tootsie Rolls. I like Tootsie Rolls, though. What about the flavored Tootsie Rolls?
I do like, actually, I like flavored more than the regular old fashioned, yeah.
Milk Duds?
Milk Duds are okay.
Any of the candy that gets like stuck in my teeth.
Sticks in your teeth. Like, it's got to be good Milk Dud. It can't be like the old Milk Duds.
Dum Dums?
Dum Dums.
The Suckers.
Suckers. Yeah, they're okay.
Hot Tamales.
Hot Tamales. I love Hot Tamales.
If you picked up Hot Tamales, you were obviously right by the Mike and Ike's. So,
I'm not a big fan of Mike and Ike's.
Oh, because they said... the article says, Hot Tamales are like the misguided spawn of Mike and Ike's and Red Hots.
Dude, Red Hots?
They got all of mom's looks, but dad's bad temper. That's a good phrase. Double bubble, or just any kind of bubble gum. But that double bubble is the worst. It's like...
Because it loses its flavor?
Well, and it like breaks your teeth.
It's so thick.
So, but, you know, by the time it gets soft enough, you've lost all your teeth and you just gum it.
It's okay.
Necco wafers.
What? Necco wafers.
Yeah, do you like Necco wafers?
I don't know what those are.
It's like eating chalk. They're the worst.
Oh,
they put Three Musketeers on here.
Yeah.
You're
a fan, huh?
I'm not a big fan, but...
But you don't dislike. You wouldn't put it... How many more do we have to go?
I don't know. Dots?
Dots! Yeah, those aren't that great.
Almond Joy. Mounds and Almond Joy.
Almond Joy? What?
Almond Joy is old people candy.
Almond Joy?
I like my coconut with a little almond on top.
I like coconut, too.
James is like, 21 worst Halloween candy. Those are the best.
That's every single one I love.
So, yeah, I would go trick-or-treating. I was a paper boy. I delivered the evening paper, so on Halloween, I would go as the paper boy, hand him a paper, and get candy. Then I'd go back later, dress in my costume, and get more candy. It's the best. So, all right, so what... Do you think that trick-or-treating promotes a worldview? Because this was something on, like, some political ads, or, like... Or maybe it was, like, Hannity or something. He's like, well, yeah, I don't let my kids trick-or-treat, because it's promoting, like, socialism or something, like... Like, you go get something for doing nothing.
Yeah.
You're begging from your neighbors, basically. Yeah,
I agree.
That's why we have homeless people. They started off, like, going trick-or-treating. Like, I can do this all the time.
I mean, wait a minute. Are you serious? I can go door-to-door and get free stuff?
Yeah. And sorry. Ash, no, we do. I do work with homeless. And
wow, you're the worst person on the planet.
Probably. No, but... No, but that's the thing, like, and that's where, like, people, like, take it to the extreme, right? They're like, oh, well, this is just promoting, like, you get, and they do say things like that, like, oh, you get nothing, oh, you get something for doing nothing.
It could be generosity.
Yeah, so I don't see
this
as a bad thing.
The only time people are generous, Halloween and Christmas.
Yeah. Easter. I think Easter people are generous.
Yeah. But yeah, but I can't go to people's house and be like, here, give me some candy.
Easter or a treat.
I'm here to get some Easter eggs. It's a new thing.
So, probably one of the coolest things I did on Halloween. So I went to a friend's house. He had a party. This was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was dating Angela. And so they watched like a really scary movie. I didn't watch it. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ooh. The original or the newer one?
Yeah, it's the original. The new one wasn't out yet. Okay. Again, we're not promoting these movies. But no, because they, like, this was, so my parents said I couldn't watch our movie. So, like, they started watching this movie, and I'm like, it's Halloween, it's a scary movie. But after, like, the first 5 minutes, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to put this in me. Like, it was just gross. Like, it was just really gross. So,
yep.
I went to the other room and played X-Men on the Sega Genesis. It was awesome, because I knew a code, and I got really far. So
you're such a cheater.
But that night, so we ended up, like, after this party, at the University of Evansville in town, there was a guy, they were doing, like, scary story reading, and this guy, they have a cool organ there, you play scary music on the organ, so we got permission from my parents, because it was late, it was midnight, my curfew's usually 11, so
Angela and I went, 11.
I know, my wife gave me a curfew, so, no, but we went and watched this like guy play the organ, and this lady came out and read scary stories. It was great. It was a lot of fun. So look for fun things to do in your community on Halloween.
Don't be mean on Halloween. Don't knock, like when you see little kids coming along and knock their candy out of their hands.
Or pumpkin smashing too. I hate that.
Oh man.
I'm like, somebody worked hard on that pumpkin, or it's their decoration. If they carved it or whatever. Somebody goes and smashes it. Why?
Because they're jerks.
It's the same people that killed that robot. I forgot his name.
I guess he's not going to return to the show.
He was on our show. What was his name? Talkbot?
Ed?
Hitchbot.
Hitchbot.
The hitchhiking robot that everybody killed. So
I didn't.
So here's what's going on. Oh, James.
Ooh.
It's time.
Oh, what time? It's for...
Goes the Culture.
Oh, yes.
Bob Goes the Culture. This is what's going on in our world this week. As far as movies and entertainment. So, number one movie?
Martian.
Last week we didn't talk about it, though, because we weren't here.
Right?
But it was
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps movie. So there's an article on the...
Plugged In,
the Culture Clips on Plugged In. Plugged In is a great website if you're like, okay, should I watch this movie? Should I not? What about this TV show? What does it promote? They talk a lot about like the Christian worldview of like, hey, this is content and stuff.
Yeah, and they'll break it down like, well, is there any of this content? What type does it show? What extreme? That's pretty good. I like it a lot too.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about Goosebumps. What happened with the Goosebumps books?
So yeah, so the Goosebump books came out.
Three times fast.
Yeah, Goosebump book.
That wasn't even close.
Yeah, let's hear you say it.
Goosebumps books.
Pretty good. You just speak better than I do. But you've been alive longer.
You're telling all these old people jokes today. You act like I'm so much older. I'm like 5 years older than you.
It's okay. I called 30-year-olds old people yesterday in church. So, sort of.
So Goosebumps books.
Yeah. You can't speak either.
All right.
So they come out, and they do not do anything for months. But this is a time when life is slower. You know, internet just isn't quite there yet.
Back when they drove horse and buggies to
school. Didn't have, you couldn't check online computers. Those sorts of things just weren't there yet. And so then I guess some kids started picking them up. And over time, by word of mouth, these kids start talking to each other. And it's like a little secret kids network. And they just start like, oh, we like these books. And they start like flying off the shelves.
This was 1992.
Yeah. So way before the internet.
So four of them came out. Yeah. R.L. Stine is the author. Yeah.
I mean, they had nothing else better to do back then. So they had to read books.
So R.L. Stine, the author, thought that like, hey, if this happened today, they would have pulled them from the shelves.
Yeah. It would never become a thing.
Yeah. But he said they sat there for several months. And then I guess somebody picked one up and read it. It was like, this is really good. It's kind of creepy. It was a TV show, right? Goosebumps? Did they have a TV show?
I think they did.
I never watched it. I don't know if I read any of the books. I may have read one or two of the Goosebumps books.
My brothers liked them. Goosebumps books.
But Austin also wrote Fear Street, and those were like the more like teenager. This was more like the kids, and then there was the teenager ones that were I think those were more like graphic.
I think I'd rather read Goosebumps.
I know. But so the movie was Jack Black. And it looks pretty interesting because it's like all the books come to life or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw the trailer. It looked interesting. But yeah. So, but I like this because it's
Right. I mean, it got good reviews.
Yeah.
But if you like something, go ahead.
Well, the books. Like, if you like something, you're going to promote it.
Yeah, you're going to tell your friends about it.
So they didn't advertise. They didn't say, like, hey, go to the store today and buy Goosebumps books. Goosebumps books. It was just people telling people about it. And that's kind of like with worldview. Like, your worldview is shaped by what people tell you is good or isn't good. So, like, if somebody comes to me and is like, hey, you've got to read this book. It's the greatest book you've ever read. I haven't read it yet. And they're like, well, you need to. So there's those. But then you have people like, watch this movie, see this, do these things. And so you're like, oh, okay. And then when you watch it, sometimes you're like, oh, wait, so this person believes this way. Because have you ever done that? Has somebody recommended something you read and you're like, oh, I didn't know they thought like that. And you automatically think that whatever that person, whoever recommended it, believes exactly what's said in the book or the movie or the song. Yeah. And so that's why we want to be careful about what we, like, we don't want you to just go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go watch that movie because they talked about it. So Chris said The Ring was the scariest movie he's ever seen, so I'm going to go watch it. It's been a long time since I saw it. I saw it in college.
And come to Jesus since.
That's not true.
Oh, you still have it. All right. How are you, my boss?
I knew Jesus before then, but... So I thought it was interesting that they took... It was somebody telling somebody about it, and it just spread because people liked it.
Yeah. Promoting it.
Yeah. Because we promote what we like. And that's what... I mean, this weekend we had a retreat with our students. Mm-hmm. And one of the, like, we talked about, like, you are broadcasting something. Like, your life is saying something. And does your life say something worth hearing?
Yeah.
And so, because I thought about this even in high school, because there was a band that I loved, and I still love them. They're the greatest band of all time, Five Iron Frenzy. And I remember when their new album was coming out, I told everybody, I was like, oh, the new album of Five Iron Frenzy. Like, everybody knew about it in my class and in my school.
Was homeschooling everybody. So yeah. So his mom.
So my mom and my sister and brother, they knew. No, I was not homeschooled. But I would tell everybody in class, like, oh, Five Iron Frenzy is coming out. I'm talking about it. Like, and then I thought later, I was like, why don't I tell people about Jesus like that? Like, it's much better. It's like life. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And then we get awkward when we tell people about Jesus.
Like, I don't want to offend you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you about people that love Jesus and they make music. Five Iron Frenzy.
Yeah.
Greatest band of all time.
That's good. So evaluating. What are you promoting?
What's your life promoting?
Yeah.
Because we talk about social media on here, too. And I think a lot of times our life promotes, our social media promotes us, right?
Yeah.
Let me take a selfie. I remember that movie. Okay.
But, I mean, well, this brings us to our next thing. Well, number one song, Still the Hills. So what music do you listen to that promotes something? But there's a couple big things that are coming out that I'm sure people are going to start promoting.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
My wife just bought 2 Star Wars shirts.
Yeah, and they just released a trailer.
Yeah, the new trailer. It looks great. Because the first two have been teaser trailers. So this is like a legit trailer. And... I this is one of those things, like, it's got to be one of the hardest jobs in the world to be J.J. Abrams right now. Because, one, he killed it on the Star Trek movies. Yes. Both of them. He did a really good job. So now they're like, okay, you did good with Star Trek, but Star Wars, that's like everybody's precious. Yeah. Because those first 3 films, some people liked them, but they were kind of not as good as the original 3. So he's got a huge order ahead of him, like, to make Star Wars 7.
Yeah, Star Wars 7.
And it looks good.
It does. You know
what?
The
Force Awakens.
It's back.
So.
Some good lines.
Up until this point, Jurassic World has been the number one movie of the year.
I don't think it'll be that for very long. Once it hits, dude, Star Wars, unless it's terrible.
But do they do a bad, like, so it's coming out like December 18th. Can it break the record before the end of the year? So is it going to be?
No.
What if it wins both years? What if it's the highest selling movie of 2015 and 2016?
That would be huge. That's why.
Because they, like, put it out. Because I don't know what pre-ticket sells.
2 weeks, though. 2 weeks-ish.
Yeah.
Man, that's a big order. Well, what about worldwide? Because that's really what bumped Jurassic World up.
And Furious 7.
Yep, worldwide.
Ooh, this is the year. China. This is the year for sevens. Because one year is like, oh, the year for sequels. Because it's like...
The year for sixes.
Yeah, this is the year for sevens. The Star Wars 7 and...
James Bond 7.
Is it? Somebody, I'm like, I was calculating. I was like, oh, yeah.
Whoa, what? I was like, yes, that can't James be true. Bond. There's been way more of those.
All right, so, oh, here, Star Wars 7 advanced ticket sales breaking records.
That's all it says.
Yeah, with moments of ticket sales going live, sites like Fandango and movie tickets were crashing. Scalpers were selling opening night tickets on eBay, and Force Awakens had already found its way into the box office record books.
Huh.
Already, and this is October.
And it just, yeah, I probably won't be able to go see it till next year sometime. That's kind of saddening.
I won't see it for
a while. What would I rather do? Celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas or go to Star Wars?
Just from domestic advanced ticket sales from the premium format, this is from ScreenRant.com, The Force Awakens has already grossed a whopping $6.5 million. It's already made $6.5 million.
That's pretty good.
That record was previously held by Dark Knight Rises, Hunger Games, and The Avengers.
Ooh.
With 1 million each.
Wow. Yeah, that destroyed.
But in advance, IMAX. It was IMAX sales.
Yeah, but still, that's showing that's going to be huge in the IMAX. Are you going to see it in the IMAX?
I'll probably see it in regular and IMAX.
At the same time.
Is it going to be 3D? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. You got to get the best experience.
Now, since this is a Disney movie, is there going to be a Disney short before it? Is there going to be like a Mickey Mouse cartoon beforehand?
No, but they might tease the next one.
You think?
I don't know.
There's going to be like spinoffs.
Yeah. So maybe they'll tease that at the end.
It worked well for Marvel, so yeah. Why?
Hey, it's money.
Might as well spin off.
Money.
All right.
Speaking of sequels.
Number 7.
No, Halo 5.
Halo 5, but Halo it's 5. The 7th in the.
Is it? Is it?
Because there's Halo ODST and Halo Reach.
Yep.
So, Halo Wars, I don't know if you count Halo Wars, but yeah, for the first person viewers. So, Halo 5 launches tonight.
Monday night at midnight. And so, this is an old game. This is a game that you grew up with.
The original Halo came out when I was in high school.
Dang, that's all.
And there was no online multiplayer, so me and my friends would play split screen, 4-player.
People don't even realize how that is anymore.
I know, it's fantastic. And then Halo 2 came out when I was in college, and maybe it was right after college.
Yeah.
So, no, because I remember playing it. That was like the first game that I played online, I think. That like I really became an online gamer at that point. So I remember sitting up like in my brother's room. He had moved out by the time. I had my headset on, and I would just play Halo 2. Like for hours. Like I never beat the campaign. I've never beat any Halo campaigns. I've only played the multiplayer I played some of the campaign on one, but never beat it. Halo 2, hardly played any of the campaign and just played the multiplayer. Because I loved it. Halo 2 multiplayer was incredible.
Well, I heard this is better.
All right. I'm excited about it. But I don't own an Xbox One because that's a dumb system.
No.
PS4 is so much better.
You're dumb.
Well, if you buy it, are you going to get it? You have an Xbox One.
I'm thinking about it. It comes out late, though. And I got a job.
Well, you don't have to get it tonight.
I do.
If you do, call me. I'm going to go run to James's house and play some Halo.
Yeah, there you go. Your marathon.
So, yeah, but it'll be interesting to see how this one does because... they said the story isn't as good if you don't know like the extended universe, which means like you've read the comics or
pretty
books.
Much I'm just gonna be lost.
I know, so I don't like that, but yeah, so that's all going on. So we're gonna kind of switch gears a little bit here because something happened in our world that
it's crazy. It's kind of thought I'd never see the day.
I never even thought about it, but wait, are you talking about drug tests for gamers?
Yes. What? Why?
Okay. No, we're not talking about that. But
that's true. That is. Are we going to mention?
So there's a professional gaming. Like it's like MLB is Major League Baseball, NFL, football, dude, NBA.
It's going to be the biggest thing.
ESL is Electronic Sports League. Like it's like you're, it's if coming you're a professional up. Gamer, and
I mean anybody can be it.
So there was a guy admitted to being on drugs during his last. They were playing a game called Counter-Strike. And he was on Adderall. So that's like a drug that like is ADHD that helps you focus more and helps you like slows you down so you can think better.
Wrong with that? That's good. Like I
it's
use
a prescription
that.
Drug. So okay. You're for your ADHD. No, so it's a prescription drug that they were like abusing. So they were using it. So it's like a performance
enhancer.
Yeah. So but Okay, I know it's not funny because it's still drug use, but it's like sports people are like, oh yeah, I take steroids to get stronger and hit the ball further and run faster. And like, I take Adderall for my gaming.
Oh, wow. And I just think of how many students they're going to have. They're going to have these problems.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it just, like, even because you don't think about the video game where, like, oh yeah, they're going to, how can they cheat in the game? Like, oh, we'll take drugs. Like, people are always trying to find that edge up, right?
Yeah.
Like,
okay, so you'll mod your controllers.
How can I get better? How can I get, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so now it's drugs. It turned to drugs. Great. Yeah. The world, there goes. It's America's pastime.
So, America's pastime was baseball, now it's video games. They're ruining it with drugs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But what we're going to spend the last few minutes talking about is Playboy.
Wow, you just threw it out there.
I'm just throwing it out there. But here's why. So,
this is big. This is a really big deal.
Okay. So, what happened, James?
So, Playboy, they've decided that in March, they will not feature, I think it's March, right?
Yeah.
They will stop featuring nude pictures of their models.
In their magazines.
Yeah, in their magazines.
So they're no longer putting out nude magazines.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Now, they already did that in August on their website.
Again, this is from articles we read about it. We didn't do any research on this on our own. We just
this is from read Plugged articles. In.
Plugged In, yeah. And, yeah, but, well, because it's been on, like, Fox News and
yeah,
different
it's been making the news rounds, and
yeah.
So, something that they're known for, right? I know some people be like, well, I read Playboy for the articles. I've heard that joke before.
I've heard that joke, yeah.
And you're like, whatever, man.
Right.
But here, they're saying, we're not going to feature nude models.
And so...
But why?
Well, because they did this, when they started on their website, the traffic actually jumped up.
So from 4 million
to 16 million in a month. So unique users. So the reason they think that this is happening is because Playboy like was the originator. So this lady, Megan Garber, wrote an article in The Atlantic. It said, Playboy treated pornography, shadowy and shame-filled, as something that should be celebrated. So they kind of changed like the stigma around pornography to make it something that was like, oh, this is okay. And yeah. So they created this culture. And so, like, the culture that they helped to create is now rampant on the internet. And so people are like, we no longer need Playboy magazine because we can get this anywhere.
With a click.
Yeah. So why did users jump? Why do you think it jumped?
Because it's like a drug. And so, I mean, there was more content available online than what Playboy...
No, why do you think their website jumped? Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get what... Yeah. Because now...
I mean, you can get more online. And so once you get into an addiction, it just you have to feed it. Yeah. So with that, I think, one of the reasons was to appeal to younger audience.
Right. So now it's no longer an 18
X-rated,
plus.
Yeah. It can PG-13, if that. Yeah. And so now anybody can buy a Playboy.
Right. So here, I mean, because I feel like this is maybe even worse, right?
Because it's still promoting.
Yeah, it's still promoting. And so now if kids, like, if you don't have to have a parent to buy it, like, and I, not that many kids are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go buy magazines, but.
Well, on their 18th birthday.
Well, yeah, they're, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, now.
Yeah.
If it's out there where, yeah, it's going to be more prevalent because before, like, it would be in the back, like, covered up or whatever. Most stores wouldn't sell it. But now it's going to be, like, front and center. Like, I imagine. You know, like when you walk by and there's like Red Book or like Better Homes and Gardens and stuff, like right there at Walmart in their lines or whatever, there's going to be that. I imagine there'll be Playboy sitting there next to them, right?
Yeah.
And so.
Kind of like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yeah. And so, another guy, this is from the Center for Parent Youth Understanding Culture expert Walter Mueller said, he's like, look, the New York Times headline offers up what appears to be, at first, good news. In reality, the headline reveals just how sexually indulgent and broken we've become. And the article is, Playboy to drop nudity as internet fills demand, we're told. In other words, the hard-to-find getaway and only available avenue into pornography that so many men his age, this guy's age, sought out in an effort to indulge our childhood curiosity in depraved ways has more or less given up. So, it says that sounds like the sexual revolution effort... ushered in by Hugh Hefner, and his magazine is over. So he's like, what he has set out to do, he accomplished.
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner. Like, and we...
Because he's elevated to such a mainstream...
Yeah.
Like, even they can't really compete anymore.
He can't compete with what he created.
Yeah. Can't keep up.
Kind of like Frankenstein. No, right? Like, he creates this monster, and then he's like, I can't control it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know the story of Frankenstein very well. Well, and then it goes and kills people or something on accident.
But that's crazy, because you're, like... I mean, they call it Playboy's decisions have gone out of their way. Many of the write-ups of the news about Playboy's decision have gone out of their way to call the magazine, as it exists in 2015, quaint.
Yeah, and it used to be pushing the envelope.
Yeah, when it came out, you're like, whoa, Playboy. I mean, right, you're like, oh, right. Dirty word or something like that you touch, but now it's like...
It's yeah, just, and you teach, like, we teach a class called Truth Talk in schools, and there's like a section on pornography, because it messes up your, like, because that's what, like, oh, teenagers look at it and they think, like, that's fine, and then when I get married, it'll go away. But you said it's an addiction, right? Like,
it's like any other drug. If you, so your brain on porn is the same, it looks the same as your brain on cocaine.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah, because you form, like, your brain forms a connection with those images. And so, like, but it needs more, right? Like, you have to take more of it. You have to get more of it. And so that's why there's not just one pornography website out there with a picture of a naked person. And you're like, oh, that's all I need to see. Like, your brain's like, oh, I need more. Because what's that chemical?
Is it dopamine.
Dopamine's released. And so it's like, oh, I need more of this. I need, like, I've got to get more of it. And so that's why, like, it's rampant in the internet world. And so let me quote this. So this is also from Plugged In, but there's a girl, I don't want to say her name because I don't want people like looking it up and stuff, but she was a model for Playboy. And then when she was on this Girls Next Door series on E, which was like about Playboy Playmates, which were all that stuff. So, but it was about their relationship with Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy. So she's now a 35-year-old mother and is talking about her hopes for her daughter. Her daughter's 2 years old. Her name is Rainbow. But she was asked about, like, hey, would you approve of your daughter following in your footsteps to be a Playboy bunny? And she's like, no, that wouldn't be okay. And she also said this: when she's an adult, she'll be able to do whatever she wants. From day one, I've tried to raise her to know that she has value. Her body parts have value, and she doesn't have to do something cheap or tawdry to get attention. But then she says this. So she says, if she wanted to do what I wanted to do, what I did, and God forbid that she did, I would tell her my whole experience with it, and I'd be honest that it wasn't what I thought it would be. So while you're doing it, it may seem fine, but years later, you don't necessarily want those pics out there, and they don't go away. Plus, one thing I've learned is that if people know you've posed nude for anything, they'll want to take your choices away in different contexts. So because you've done it before, they assume you'll pose nude for anything, anytime, anywhere. I feel like once you pose nude, suddenly people assume your body is always fair game. Isn't that crazy? Wow. That's like, so yeah. When I read that, I'm like, man, because they glamorize it so much, right? They have those TV shows. You're like, oh, these people are really popular. They get to do all this stuff. They're like, you think that it's this wonderful thing. You're like, no, that's not. And so pornography is actually like hurting marriages and hurting relationships, and especially with teenagers. So we looking them up?
Yeah, I'm just looking up a couple of different articles just on how it affects. It's the new narcotic. And this comes from an older, the Witherspoon Institute public discourse.
This is older, sorry. It's the old Witherspoon Institute.
Yeah, so the new narcotic, but it's just talking about, William M. Struthers, professor of psychology at Wheaton College, explains in his book, Wired for Intimacy, how pornography hijacks the male brain, that pornography works through the same neural circuit, has the same effects with respect to tolerance and withdrawal, and has every hallmark of an addiction.
So, yeah, so it forms that...
Yeah, it's the new narcotic.
Yeah, so when people, like, when we hear about that, like, and you don't think about that. Like, as teenagers, when you listen to this, like, you think, like, okay, this happens, and you're not necessarily like, oh, this, I mean, it's okay, but you're starting down a path, you're starting down a journey, because somebody's like, hey, you want to do cocaine? You're going to be like, oh, yeah, I want some right now, give me some. I mean, you might if you're in the, don't do drugs, but But you don't think about that with pornography. You're not like, oh, this is going to be an addiction. This is going to be harder to as hard to break as a cocaine addiction.
Yeah.
And so...
well, they say, you know, what if I told you that the internet is the greatest drug dealer in the United States? That the CIA, according to the CIA, there are an estimated 2 million heroin users in the United States, with 600 to 800,000 considered hardcore addicts. Compare these with the number... these numbers to 40 million regular users of online pornography in America.
Wow. That's crazy. So, but, okay,
but it's so prevalent.
Yeah. So what happens though is it creates a culture.
Yes.
Right? So like, yes. So our worldview, like it shifts because people are like, oh, okay. So if you look at the costume ads for, we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But like if you look at costume ads for even kids' costumes, the girls are more provocative than the guys. Like, the guys are like, oh, Superman, Fireman, like, the Hulk. And then girls are like, oh, you know, Tinkerbell. But it's like the short skirt or, like, these low-cut things. And, like, but even the adult girl costumes, they're all, like, very provocative. Yeah. And you're like, okay. Yeah, and so, but with that, like, it's this worldview that's being promoted that it's kind of like, okay, well, what do we do about it? Like, how do you help change that culture? Like, how do you help shift that? I mean, really, it's parents being like, we're not going to buy that stuff. We're not going to buy kids' costumes and promote that. Because if you don't buy it, nobody's going to keep making them. So, it's just... Because there's... good.
Yeah, and well, this reminds me of, like, the olden days. What Christians were known for was they were not engaging in sexuality the way that their culture was engaging. Like, they were like, well, we're not going to... experiment or do all these different things. They were known for being what's the word?
Chaste.
Yeah, but that's not the word I was going for. But I mean, they were known for this. They would not let their sexual urges control them. Like they had more control over what they did, and they were known for that at that time. And so that's something that I think Christians have slipped into culture. Like it's just. We've let that happen. Whereas, I mean, the Bible and God has set up sexuality as a holiness. Like, there is something very holy about this, and yet culture says, well, it's just an act. And that's something that we hear in schools a lot. It's just sex is sex. And so there's, I mean, it's your body, you can use it. And there's this very focus on physical, that it's just physical. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, you might as well experiment. It happens. Everybody's doing it. All these different excuses to say and let it slip in. And then if you don't put up your guard and are taking active, intentional steps to protect yourself, then you can see yourself slip into it or, you know, other people, friends, different things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul writes, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. And I mean, what that's getting at is like your brain, the stuff you're talking about, like we don't think about that. Like you tell a lie, the other person gets mad at you or whatever, but that doesn't affect you like your brain, like sexual sin does. And so, so I know there's like some parents might be like, why did you talk about this? But it's important. And
it's not talked about. And that's why it just is growing in prevalence. It's there. Just because you ignore it doesn't mean it's going to disappear. It's only getting more. A couple of weeks ago, you shared a stat that 4% of the top 10 million websites in the world are pornographic related.
Yeah.
There's different things like these apps where you can send things and there's no one's going to know. So why not send it?
So, and so parents, like, you got to have conversations with your kids about this. Mm-hmm. So talk to them about pornography. Talk to them. I mean, I'd say, you know, even fifth grade, start like just saying, hey, here's, you might come into contact with this. Because younger and younger, like the earliest age, like I've heard 12 in some places, I've heard even as early as 4 is like the age of when like kids or males, boys are getting exposed to pornography. And that could be through a brother, through a friend, through anything. And so if you as parents aren't talking about that and students, if you're not having conversations with your friends and parents about it, like start having those conversations. I know it's awkward, but like you need to start setting up like blocks in your life to resist that temptation. And so, because the more stuff that what you take in, you're going to give out. So if you're taking all that in.
And with the advent of technology, I mean, at a younger age, students and kids are getting cell phones nowadays. I hear this all the time. Like, oh, you know, I get my cell phone at 12 or something. Or before that, you get an internet-connected device, which allows for you to connect to the world, which allows for you to connect to these sources. But also, even with newer technology, because we got things like VR coming out, oh, yeah. And you know that it's going to take advantage of that. We've got things like augmented reality. So that's kind of like it takes your environment. Like you can still see somewhat of your environment, but it takes puts a holographic screen on.
Which I did. I played a game with like those little spaceships that came in, and I had to shoot them. I had to save my friends.
Yeah.
Because you're looking around the room. But people take stuff and...
And you know that this industry, since there's a demand, it's over $100 billion industry, is going to take advantage of that, and it's only going to grow because the technology is there to expand, and that's something that is very addictive. People will consume it because...
Oh, go ahead.
Because we're people, and if we don't set up blocks...
Yeah. And then they start... Well, it starts to act out. So this was a high school in Maine. They canceled dances. They're like, okay, we're not doing school dancing anymore because... the principal blamed MTV and VH1 because there's all the twerking and grinding going on, is what he said. But he says it's really almost simulated sex. And he said, it came to a point where I had to say no. This was Chris Record, the principal at the school. He says, we've got to do better. And so, it's just our culture is becoming highly sexualized, and parents don't talk about it. And I mean, even the church does a bad job of talking about it at times. Yeah. And so we've got to do a better job about, addressing this issue and be like, hey, this is how to respond in this way and how to respond in a way that honors... Yeah. God, and that's part of our worldview, but...
Well, you didn't talk about this, but, I mean, even celebrities are trying to push things to the next level, and so you got people like Miley Cyrus.
Oh, gosh, this is crazy.
This next thing. So Miley Cyrus has posted numerous nude images of herself online over the past few years. Now musical collaborator Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips says Cyrus plans to record a video for her new song, The Milky Milk Milk. That's a creative... In the nude, with everyone else in the video nude too, even the live audience.
So it's just gonna be like a.
It's like this sexualized,
weirdo
orgy.
Yeah, it's gonna be really weird. So, but yeah, it's like, but to what end? Like, what is it? Just
the, but she's pushing the level, so I can be the first one
to do this.
The big one to do this. Yeah, so hey, focus is on me.
Well, the past year or two, there was a couple music videos where there was nudity in it. I won't say what they were, but yeah, so they're just a little bit, but she's pushing it to the next.
Yeah. What can I do? How can I outdo these people so that I can be, there's so much sacrifice going on.
You got to remain And there's you have this lady that's like, don't do that. Cause once you do that, then everybody expects it. Everybody expects you to do that in every context.
For Miley to make it in our mind, she has to outdo herself, the first time. So the first one, Wrecking Ball. It was because she had some bodysuit on or something.
I never saw the video either,
but I heard it was very provocative and she didn't have much on. And so that was at that time. Now it's I got to take it to the next level. But now when you think of Miley in your mind, that's what she has to do. Next, what is she going to do? What's going to keep her next music video from being porn?
Right.
In the sense of actual happening.
Yeah. I don't know. So... we didn't push limits today, but I feel like we need to talk about this because it's affecting our culture. Yeah, this 40
million users, and that's 2 years old. The source I just shared was 2 years old.
Yeah, so who knows?
If we have over 200 million more devices that are connected to the internet now in just America, that's even more potential users.
Yeah, crazy. So, man, I want to end on a good note because I feel like that's really heavy. All right.
Well,
let's see. What's a good Halloween? Do you have any good scary stories? All right. No. So this weekend, I'll end with this. This joke's too long. Never mind. But I know at the fall retreat, I told some of the students some scary stories. And there's one of them at the end. You scream real loud. So I was telling the kids a story.
Come on in.
And you can open the door if you want. Somebody just knock on the door. So I was telling the middle school guys. And at the end of the story, you scream really
Faith,
loud.
What's
and
so, up? We have a special guest on the show.
Oh, Faith! So, your husband was on the end of last show. So, okay. Faith.
Let's hear your best Indian accent because he did an Indian accent.
Not on the end of the show. So, Faith, Faith Samuel is Dr. Prince Samuel, who's on the show briefly last week and did a wonderful Indian accent that was really fake. And
what are you talking about?
Wow. How's that compare? Is she better speaking in an Indian accent?
But of course I'm better.
Wow. That's a good way to end the show.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Faith, for bringing that up. All right. Hey, everybody. This has been Podcast Viewfinder, episode 30. Thanks for tuning in. Follow us on iTunes. Subscribe. Leave us some love. Give us a 5-star review. Yep. Or if it, a 4-star, if you feel like we're not that good.
No, wait a minute. Only
5-star. If you have a 4-star review, write us at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com and tell us how we can do better. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll see you next time.
Magic.
Podcast Viewfinder.